Seth, I need you to give me a big fat consonant noise.
Harsham.
Fat.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Yo, it's New York Comic Con weekend, and we have Transformers to talk about. Hi, welcome to WTF and TFW. My name is Vangelis, and I'm joined by Seth Buzzard.
Hi, I'm recording for the first time from my new forward command position.
Yeah, forward command position Omega?
I haven't decided yet, because the last place was Alpha Command Base Bravo.
Yeah.
And, this also might be Alpha Command Base Bravo?
Not
or
quite
it might
sure
be
yet.
Something else.
All right.
I kind of like forward command based Omega. Is that what you said?
Forward command position Omega. I tried to change almost every word.
Yeah, I'll have to consider that.
Yeah, like just find synonyms for everything. Except Alpha, because Omega clearly isn't a synonym for Alpha, but whatever.
No, it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Everything else, find synonyms. Yeah, it's the day after the big Hasbro panel, which was the day after the big Hasbro party. We now know all the stuff they revealed at New York Comic Con. We have so much to talk about. Man, Seth, this week has been a bummer as someone who still cannot get the WWE Network, because I heard that the NXT event was amazing.
Yeah, well, the main event was amazing. The rest of it was all right.
Okay.
I was disappointed with how the Dusty Rose Invitational Tag Team Tournament went.
Yeah,
because the two teams in the finals were not established tag teams. They were single competitors that had been put together into teams. Mm-hmm. And I really would have rather the winner have been an established ongoing tag team.
Yeah, I've been hearing
once Enzo and Cass were eliminated, I didn't care who it was, as long as it was an established tag team.
I've been catching cool stuff about the VOD villains on my Twitter.
Yeah, they've come on pretty good lately. I used to look at them and go, okay, it's a funny gimmick, especially their entrance is fantastic. I love their entrance. But I'm like, I don't see how this sustains. I don't see how this plays. And then, like, the heel color commentator on NXT started referring to them as hipsters. And then I was like, oh, that's how this works. Okay, yeah, you just run them down for being hipsters that are like, oh, I'm going to do pro wrestling, but I'm going to like work out with like those big bowling pins and kettlebells and not go to a regular weight training room.
Yeah. Yeah, it was another reminder. I was sitting there going like, man, this would be the time, but I still can't. So
yeah, the Bayley Sasha Banks Iron Man match was really great.
Yeah, whenever it makes its way over, and I have that moment where I'm like, I'm gonna get a month of it. That's the reason why I'm going to is that NXT stuff.
Yeah, and their match at Brooklyn not too long ago, like that was so good, and there was so much hype for this Iron Man match. I was like, man, I don't know. It's so much pressure for these two. Like, if they don't pull this off, it's going to be a huge bummer. And they absolutely pulled it off. It was great. Like, those two are amazing. They put, like, virtually every other mainline wrestler, male or female, to shame right now.
Yeah, I saw a gif of the finisher with, like, submission hold, and I'm going to start kicking you in the back of the head as the timer runs down.
Yeah, well, that's what she gets for stomping on Bayley's hand in the match before.
That was like, proper, like, action movie storytelling right there. I've drugged this out long enough to irritate at least somebody. So
yeah, that's good.
Seth, let's talk about New York Comic Con. So we found out a couple interesting things, and I've lined up a whole bunch of links for us, but I don't really want to go like hard sequentially through all this. I just want to kind of flow. So we found out Combiner Wars is the first part of a toy media trilogy called the Prime Wars, and the second part is called Titans Return. So after months of people calling it Titan Wars, people are probably still going to call it Titan Wars for years to come, but it's called Titans Return. And there's going to be a third part to finish off this trilogy in 2017, 2018. And given how much I've been liking Combiner Wars, I'm kind of excited because this makes me think of the last time we had a media trilogy in Transformers of toys, media, and everything linking up. That was the Unicron trilogy, which ended on Galaxy Force, which is one of the best Transformers lines still to date that has aged extremely well. And I really like the Combiner Wars toys. A lot of the stuff we saw this week, I think, looks pretty fun. And it makes me, in a very optimistic and unfilteredly optimistic way, think like, man, what's the third part going to be like if it's like the same through line that builds on itself like this? But in short, we got Titan Masters, which is the new word for all the Masters. Headmasters, Target Masters, whatever. And it's basically just Headmasters. So last year's gimmick was Combiners. This year's gimmick is Headmasters, and there's hella Headmasters.
Who would have thought that Headmasters would be a big deal?
Yeah.
Before we get too deep into this, I feel like I need a mea culpa and admit that with the moving and the settling and the still having to go to work and cat tumor problems, I haven't really been able to keep up very well, so I'm going to be kind of winging it. Yeah. So you'll get a lot of raw, right off the cuff, unfiltered reactions to this stuff.
I think that'll be a real nice counterbalance to what my talk is going to be, which is I just sat on Twitter like kind of yelling off the cuff for about a half a day, and that's all coalesced into some thoughts. So I think it's, we got a good setup here.
Okay.
So we don't have to talk too, because I also know that you don't keep up with the current comics too much. So I don't think we really need to focus on the comic part as much when we're talking about it. That'll be for next week when we got Aaron and TJ on, and they're both more into the comics and more into RID. So we're gonna focus mostly on the toys here. And this, I figure let's just go through what we got coming for Titan's Return. And the big start, the big kick would be the Titan Masters, which is the weirdest product, I think, of all this stuff. The Titan Masters are these sets where we're getting basically a Headmaster and then an Action Master vehicle, like a micro vehicle for that Headmaster, where the vehicle has one mode and then the Headmaster can quote unquote combine with it into another mode. And then that's what you get. I think that looks super fun for one main reason. The first main reason is Crash Bash, but the second main reason is all four of these Headmasters are Headmaster Juniors from Master Force, or the smaller Headmasters from the second wave of the toys back in G1. So they are not making up any Headmasters here. There's a lot of weird new names, but nobody has been made up, and that makes me kind of hopeful that this selling style of, like, these guys are just the Headmasters with, like, a partner vehicle is going to be like, okay, we can't necessarily make a big toy for everybody, but every Headmaster is going to be in here one way or another, and then we'll solve it after the fact if we can't solve it right now. I think that's kind of cool for, like, weird characters. Like the two Decepticons in here, Crash Bash and Terrible, are Squeeze Play and Horrible, who I never thought would get another toy anytime soon. Even if it's just their Headmaster, it's still something, you know. So these, by the way, also some of these were hand-painted samples on the show floor, but a lot of these white-backed images are like CAD images that have been posed. Seeing
I was skimming through a bunch of them before we start, or a handful of them before we started, I should say, and I was like, these don't look like actual photos.
Yeah, this is what they started doing back at BotCon with some of the Combiner Wars later stuff, which
Combiner Wars later, is that a new line?
That's the subline
for Combiner Wars later.
That's the Walmart exclusive branding. But this is what they started doing instead of the heavily photoshopped toy pictures. And given that it gives us an earlier look at stuff overall, I'm sort of okay with it. Especially because the hand painted stuff is out there for half the stuff. So I find it's easy to parse this into what the actual toys might look like. But yeah. Seth, let's just talk about these standalone Titan Masters. Now, I'll give you the rundown. Like I said, the purple guy is actually Squeeze Play, and then, like, you know, the blue guy with the faceplate's actually Horrible. That gray one is actually Siren, and for some reason they couldn't get the name Siren, so they just called him Loudmouth.
Which is great.
That's an unfortunate. I don't have a problem with that. That's an unfortunate name that I am way into.
It's kind of crazy because he's like a good guy. Yeah, Loudmouth. you got to imagine that the other Autobots aren't super fond of him.
No, I mean, he's not heavily in the comics, but he is in More Than Meets the Eye, and his few appearances have very much played off his original tech spec bio of being a very loud person. Generally, his word bubbles take up half the panel he's in. So yeah, Seth, what's your take on the weirdest end of this Titan, or not Titan Wars, Titan's Return playthrough? I'm doing it now. This is terrible.
So, Titan Masters is the new name for Headmaster. Is that what I'm getting?
Pretty much, although the Hasbro guys said they're going to also use that for Target Masters and Power Masters if they come up.
Okay, but the Titan isn't a reference to size.
No, no, and that's okay. Confused some
is
people.
Is when that... Like, rumor was going around. I was like, so what? This is going to be a line of big, giant, like, $100 toys or something? That could be crazy. Or scaled down version of city characters, like a deluxe size Fort Max would be sad in a way. Yeah. So here I am coming from my not being able to pay attention all week. Ignorance. So now, are the robots, like the big robots, are they gonna have an attached head that like flips out of the way that you could then use the Titan Master head on?
No, they,
or this is like legit Headmasters where if you lose your head, you're out of luck, Jimmy. You got a headless Galvatron.
Yeah, all the bigger, like all the Deluxes, Voyagers, and Leaders all are Headmasters, and then the Voyagers and Leaders have additional helmet parts that fold around the Headmaster to make the heads a bit bigger on them.
Uh-huh.
That's like, you know, like Blaster's helmet or Galvatron's crown.
Okay, so you can lose your Headmaster guy or your Titan Master guy and then just have like this hollow crown head for your Galvatron.
So don't lose it.
That's gutsy.
Yeah.
I gotta give Hasbro credit because that's the number one reason to not do Headmasters.
Mm-hmm.
Is little Jimmy losing the head and then having a headless toy robot.
Yeah, they every bigger toy, and like from deluxe and up, they all have a cockpit section. And then the Titan Masters also all have a universal little like peg hole on the bottom of their feet. And all the toys have got pegs all over them so you can stand them on the vehicles and stuff. Huh. And then this is a cool thing, at least on Blaster, they also put a foot peg right next to the neck socket so you can have the little head guy stand on the headless robot in like that perfect like poster pose.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a really sweet touch.
Sweet.
Sweet. So yeah, I just want to say, I think Crash Bash Squeeze Play here is the king of these four standalone guys. If only because you see how he's got that bird chicken thing that turns into a T-Rex?
Uh-huh.
When it's a T-Rex, the T-Rex's arms are the Headmaster's arms, and the T-Rex's lower jaw are the Headmaster's legs.
Oh, that's neat.
So he like fuses in with the bird thing's butt, basically. And then turns into a T-Rex. I think that's kind of cool. Well,
I mean, any archaeologist will tell you that's where T-Rexes come from.
Yeah, they're inside-out birds with a head stuck up their butt.
Yeah.
As for the other ones, if you look at Nightbeat and ignore his ridiculous face sculpt for a second, the drill tank version of his vehicle, Nightbeat's head mode is just a box stuck on the back there, like that little yellow nub sticking up on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Terra Bull's thing, on the jet mode of it, you can see Terra Bull's legs sticking out the back where he's just kind of lying face down on the top.
Yeah.
So all these guys, I don't know how Loudmouth actually attaches to either of his things, but they have a thing where it's basically, here's a vehicle for them to ride, and then if you attach them, it turns into a different vehicle. And the attachment isn't always incredible. Like, Crash Bash is the only one who really does it to any meaningful degree. But I think it looks like a fun way to do these guys. Yeah, the elephant in the room, Seth. That Nightbeat face sculpt is ridiculous. Like look at the close up. He looks like he just found out that he's not being packaged with his own body.
Like, what?
Like, wait a second.
I'm supposed to be like a private eye or something.
No, here I have a drill tank. Huh?
I can't private eye in that.
Don't
Isn't
worry.
He supposed to be like a private eye in the comics or something?
Yeah, in the current comics, he's still like a total like sleuth who loves to solve puzzles and stuff, and now he has to solve the ultimate puzzle of where the hell did my body go?
Or where are the diamonds I'm drilling to find?
Yeah. Center of the Earth.
The Cybertron diamonds. The Cyber Diamonds. Mystery of the Cyber Diamonds.
So I don't know, how are you taking these single pack guys? Like, are you looking at
them? I'm excited about this whole line.
All right.
Like, as cool as Combiner Wars was, like, this is so something that I think everyone had gotten used to not never happening.
Yeah.
I.e. Headmasters. So the fact that they're doing it, it's so fresh and seemingly out of nowhere that I'm psyched.
Yeah, me too. Also, I forgot to mention, apparently they didn't show them, but all of their vehicles have got a third weapon mode. That's why you can sometimes see a big peg sticking off of them. So they can turn into like a handheld weapon as well. It's not going to happen, but how crazy would it be if all these little vehicles are secretly like a combiner to form into a body for one of these headmasters?
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
But then you're combining Autobots and Decepticons, and that doesn't work out.
It's to fight the greater foe, to fight the, I don't know, the headless, whatever.
Oh, you could do two robot combiners.
Yeah. I would like to see that as maybe a Wave 3 or Wave 4 idea in this particular price point. Like, you can, like, one of these little vehicles turns into an upper or a lower body, and then you, like, stick two of them together and add a head on top.
There you go.
That would be fun. But Seth, I meant to ask, do you have any particular attachment to any of these four characters?
Not really, no.
All right, yeah, that's...
I only know Headmasters through clips and the handful of toys that creeped over here.
Yeah.
And more recently through Crasis tweeting screen caps endlessly on Twitter.
Yeah, my main question for a lot of people, because I mean, these four in particular are actually from Master Force, which is far more beloved than the Headmasters cartoon to many people who love these characters. I want to know, like, are you kind of mad that they picked these four because it means that you don't know about their bodies, or are you just happy that they're getting toys whatsoever, like, as opposed to there being no toy of Horrible or Squeeze Play or whatever they were in Master Force? Squeeze Play was called Cancer in Master Force, and I'm pretty sure they couldn't call them that over here. That would be troublesome.
It'd be just as ballsy as doing Headmasters in the first place.
This is true. Let's move on to the deluxes, because we've seen two of the four deluxes from Wave 1. They have not revealed the other two, but, like, holy crap, continuing the trend of those last four single pack guys all being OG Headmasters, two of the first deluxes are going to be two more original Headmasters who were from the first wave of the gimmick from back then. Hardhead and Skullcruncher. And having, like, these two were physically there in hand-painted form as well. Skullcruncher's alligator mode is friggin' nice for a deluxe. Like, way better than I would have expected. For, like, the shape of the body and everything. And, like, he has a cockpit for his little guy in the center that can flip open. Hardhead looks pretty cool, too. Seth, like, holy crap, Generations Skullcruncher.
Yeah. No, it's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm into it. yeah, I mean, it's just, like I already said, it's so out of nowhere that they're doing all this stuff. It's incredible. And, like, even though, like, I had kind of aged out of collecting Transformers by the time, like, the Headmaster and Target Master toys and whatnot were coming out. So, like, I never had any of this stuff as a kid. And I certainly wasn't watching the TV show back in 87 or whenever that was, when it was only in Japan. So I don't have that, like, childhood nostalgia for these characters, but they look awesome. So, yeah, I'm still into it.
Yeah.
And you're not talking me out of it, showing these pictures.
Well, and it's just also for them to be showing us for this first showing, like, okay, we're going to do Headmasters. What characters are we picking? Actual Headmasters. Like, they're not starting off with, like, here's Bumblebee as a Headmaster. Yeah. Here's
Ironhide.
Yeah. Like, we're going to get to that. But, you know,
my head.
we're gonna probably get to that, but, like, for them to start off with, like, you know, here are six of the original, what, 17 or 18, like, Headmaster toys that were released stateside, and, you know, Brainstorm has already been done, and I believe someone confirmed these are built differently, but will be compatible with the Brainstorm Headmaster from Generations Brainstorm. Like, that's two of the original four Autobot Headmasters done right here.
Was there ever an official explanation as to why they're calling them Titan Masters instead of Headmasters?
They, yeah, I think John Warden said, or someone at the panel said, that they want Titan Masters to just be the catch-all term for all the quote-unquote Masters.
Uh-huh.
So they thought it was a better, it was less confusing than just having, like, three different kinds of Masters. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm not a child, so I don't know if that changes my perspective a whole lot.
So it wasn't it was more like, oh, just a catch-all term, and not like there was a meeting with a PR person who was like, and what are these called? And like, oh, those are headmasters. And the PR person being like, you can't call them that. Why not? Why can't, I mean, that's what they are. They're headmasters. Why can't we call them that? And then the PR person just like locks eyes and the lights get dark and it gets all serious and they just go, blowjobs. we'll call them Titan Masters then.
we did have our discussions about Power Core Combiner Spastic and the various ways that slag turned to slog. But no, I do not believe that was the discussion that led to this, as far as it was implied.
You can't change my beliefs, and I have the freedom to believe whatever I want, so...
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Hawking warned everybody about this.
Listen, I'm not saying I'm being closed-minded. I just don't want to hear your opposing point of view.
Okay.
You're opposing,
we could agree on that.
Your opposing closed-minded point of view.
Yeah.
Because it's not mine. So yeah, Seth, I mean, let's just, you know, inspecting these two. At a glance, for deluxes, I really don't see anything wrong with them. Like, they've got some hollowness here and there, but they are deluxes.
Yeah, well, that Galvatron's got some hollowness, too.
We're going to get to him.
But if the actual physical toys look this good, I mean, that tank is cool looking.
Yeah.
That's a cool looking space tank. This alligator is nuts. It's this crazy robot alligator, and you can't argue with that.
Yeah. Skullcruncher's alligator mode is friggin'... I would consider that pretty untouchable for something happening at the deluxe price point. Also, these guys look like they're a little bit taller than Combiner Wars deluxes, which I also find exciting.
Uh-huh.
Which is something like, you know, the caveat being you look at the inside of Hardhead's limbs and there's a lot of hollow space. And I'm like, well, yeah, if he's getting taller, I see how this is going to further make him thin in the paneling. But, you know, like, he doesn't have a tricky transformation, but I really like how it looks like the tank kind of folds up into, like, three layers of plastic to form his torso. Like, that seems really neat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these guys, yeah, they strike me real well. I heard that at the panel, they were like, they showed silhouettes for the other two deluxes, but said they weren't going to share them yet. So I went and looked at the panel photos, and the silhouettes were mugshot silhouettes. And I was like, when everyone's head is kind of the same shape, this doesn't mean anything. Even less so than the usual mugshot silhouette. These are supremely useless.
It's the guy with the square head.
Yeah, exactly. And then one
that's
of them,
my favorite square head guy.
Then there was like a little dash above the head of one of them where, like, I don't know, their arm was sticking up or it's headmaster blur. I'm not sure which. But yeah, those mugshot things, they were like, it was cute. But yeah, Seth, you mentioned Voyagers. Let's talk about Galvatron, because I like...
I wish he was a leader. I mean, he's Galvatron. Come on.
Yeah, I like Galvatron, and he looked like a, you know, a kind of... He had that leader-class jank that we have right now that's kind of fun and kind of messy. And so seeing that he's a Voyager, I do find rather disappointing.
Yeah, it's like they're determined... to make Galvatron one size class smaller than you want him to be.
Yeah, because they just released a leader class Ultra Magnus as well. So I was like, oh, they're doing a leader class Galvatron. Perfect. Voyager. I was like, oh, man.
Well, that's why Galvatron hates Ultra Magnus so much, is because he has a Napoleon complex.
Exactly. Although, this Galvatron looks pretty massive. And as I said, like one of those rumors that was going around for the last like year... was that the Voyagers and Deluxes were all going to be a little bit taller. This guy looks pretty big. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I wonder if he might at least, like, like standing him next to Combiner Wars Magnus, I'm hoping there's going to be a nice like medium between the two.
Yeah.
You know what's not small though? That frigging gigantic cannon on his arm.
Nor should it be.
Exactly. And it's the perfect shade of translucent orange. Like,
well, at least the CAD model is.
No, no, the physical toy that was there too.
Okay. I'm just looking at these CAD shots. So.
Check some of the ones from the top block of links. Those are actual photos. Like closer look at is the best photos I think that we got on the site. And Galvatron's down near the bottom somewhere.
Okay, closer look at up on the link.
He's standing right next to a Machinima sign.
Oh, Machinima.
So Galvatron stands with Machinima.
So Galvatron is promoting Windows 10 and other Microsoft products.
Yep. He's like,
oh, Machinima, you goofballs.
I love Windows 10! Blah! But yeah, the translucent orange on that is
Galvatron's voiced by Gilbert Gottfried now?
Yep.
All right.
For the upcoming Titans Return cartoon in 2017, that's going to be the... you didn't hear it from me, but, you know, I'm leaking it.
In these pictures of the actual toy, the orange is even better than the CAD model, so that's great.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Gilbert Gottfried's natural speaking voice?
Briefly.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's so weird.
I don't like to hear it. Like, go back to the cartoonish yelling. That's what you're supposed to sound like.
So weird.
But yeah, Galvatron is a messy looking toy that regardless still looks pretty fun. But I certainly cannot look at his arms and think anything but like they look like they didn't quite finish transforming together. Especially the arm that has the cannon on it. Everything's kind of hovering.
The arms do seem a little not done, but I don't think I care enough to not get it.
I thought about it. I'm like, am I mad? And I'm like, well, are his palms facing the right way? No. So this is already a better Galvatron than some of the other ones we've gotten unofficially or officially.
Now I'm thinking about Cyclonus, Combiner Warning into Galvatronus, and then Galvatron showing up and being like, what are you doing?
What the hell are you doing, buddy?
You're aping my gimmick.
Cyclonus is just like, no, listen, I really like you. And Galvatron's like, this is too creepy. Where does my head go when you're not combined?
In
my
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Where does the giant Galvatron head go, Cyclonus? In my stomach. Okay.
Don't Starscream me.
We need to not talk for a month. And then we gotta talk this out. So Galvatron's headmaster, speaking of Cyclonus, I really hope to see a Cyclonus headmaster for him, because that would be perfect. Instead, his headmaster is apparently just called Nucleon, and is just G1 Megatron.
Yeah, well, when you were like, speaking of Cyclonus, his headmaster, I'm like, that has nothing, his headmaster has nothing to do with Cyclonus. Yes, where are we going with this?
His headmaster should be Cyclonus, because I think that would be perfect.
And that would be like this crazy like turnabout coming out of Combiner Wars.
Yeah. No, I was kind of hoping that we would be getting that set up. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe sometime in the future, just like a promotional little headmaster can be done up that's Cyclonus who turns into Galvatron's head. But
yeah, but having Megatron be Galvatron's head kind of makes sense.
Totally too. Does. Totally so, does.
Yeah.
There's also
a mad at it.
I'm gonna dig it up for you. There's a picture somewhere of just the Galvatron head when it's separated, and it looks real weird too. I don't know where it is now. It's buried.
Does it look like Gilbert Gottfried's voice? Is that what it looks like?
Exactly like Gilbert Gottfried. No, it's so you see how that Galvatron figure has got like the full crown and everything.
Yeah.
So the crown is plugged onto the front of the headmaster.
Yeah, and it very much looks like it's a piece on top.
So when you remove that crown, there's still a little implied crown sculpted on the headmaster.
Oh, that's all right.
But it's like, you know, recessed because it has to fit into the headmaster space.
Yeah.
And it looks real funny because it means he has this tiny, like, kind of, I don't know how to put it. It's like his crown, like, got scared and, like, shrank back into his head.
It's turtling.
Yeah, it's a turtling crown. Nonetheless, for a Voyager, I'm, because the one bummer about the leader toys right now is like they're kind of fun, kind of janky, and about $10 to $20 over what I feel I would be happier to pay for them. That's why I generally wait till they're on sale. Uh-huh. Voyagers, even at their jankest, at $20 generally to $25, I usually enjoy them.
Yeah.
And that's the silver lining to Galvatron being a Voyager for me. Is he's probably going to be a better value proposition as far as what he does. But yeah, I as someone who thinks this toy looks cool, I certainly cannot sit here and tell you that this is a perfect Galvatron. He's got plenty of weird stuff. Not the least of which, his third mode, where he turns into a giant flying gun.
A cool flying gun.
Yeah, which is...
It looks more like something than his, like, standard weird space cannon mode, though.
It does, like...
It looks like a little spaceship with a giant cannon on it.
I'm so used to the shape of his normal cannon mode that I have to kind of step back, but you're right, like... That cannon mode is just a weird cylinder on tread legs.
Yeah.
And yeah, the XV on Twitter pointed out something that I thought was totally on par when I was catching up on everything, which is that Galvatron's jet mode is basically the animated twins, like the Autobot twins that could combine together. Uh-huh. Their jet modes were very much the same shape, and there's some word for it, and I forgot what it was. But it's basically one of those with a big gun stuck under the nose cone.
Yeah, like the kind of small ship with a big giant gun sticking under the nose cone. That concept, little ship, big giant gun, put me in the mind of the ship from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the shape of the Galvatron spaceship looks nothing like the ship from Cowboy Bebop. But that concept, little ship, big gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm cool with that. I actually, so like, just from this cat picture, like, I like that more than, like, I'm glad the standard Galvatron big goofy barrel cannon thing is there, but this seems way more practical.
Yeah. The only thing I want to know about that mode is what it looks like from the top and from the side.
Probably terrible.
Yeah, that's the one little thing where I'm like, hey, what's up with this exactly?
Conceptually, it's a great idea.
Well, the other big thing about this is that he's a Voyager and he's a triple changer, and apparently the Voyagers and leaders are all going to be triple changers in this line. So not only is everyone a headmaster, everyone who's bigger than a deluxe is also a triple changer. And we got a reveal on the other Voyager, and I'm going to just direct link you the two pictures of his slides, because they didn't release the CAD models. We've got pictures of the physical toy from the end of the panel, so if you see the link at the bottom of the second block, I think, the Sentinel Prime pictures. I'll link you to his two slides here. What just happened? I opened it in a new window somehow. That's weird. I don't know how Firefox works, but there's a pair of pictures. Sentinel Prime is apparently not only the other Voyager toy, but he's also apparently the big antagonist of Titan's Return. And his headmaster is called Autobot Infinitus. And he is a bright orange and red Astrotrain. Look at his two alt modes. They look a whole lot like Astrotrain.
Yeah, this is weird.
I know that, so people have pointed out to me, his shuttle mode is actually very much modeled on the Autobot shuttles from Transformers the movie, just in, you know, way different colors. And his train mode is not really a train if you look at it and think battleship, because it does remind me a lot of half of Energon Omega Supreme. But
yeah.
I also can look at those and totally see them getting remolded into Astrotrain, just by retooling a lot of parts.
Especially once his not a train mode has what looks a lot like a cow catcher.
Yeah. That's his foot design by coincidence.
Yeah.
Also
looks like a cow catcher.
So I don't mind this, because I think that his modes all look fun, and I actually really like the way that the bridge kind of like stays in the center of both modes. Uh-huh. Like the little cockpit bridge.
Did you refer to him as the antagonist?
Yes, apparently he's not a nice person, according to the panel.
Okay.
Maybe not the antagonist, but they said he's not a nice person.
Because that's weird, because you already got Galvatron in there. You would assume Galvatron would be the antagonist. I was thinking maybe you misspoke.
Oh, no, no. Sentinel Prime in IDW especially is a bit of a... I don't entirely recall his perfect history, but I believe he went missing, and he's been kept that way in the fiction. And he's not... he's... The thing about IDW is every single person whose name ends in Prime that isn't Optimus is kind of a scumbag.
Okay, well.
So that's also one of my favorite parts of IDW, is like that when you go back into their history and there's like all these different primes, they're all horrible people.
So they took animated Sentinel Prime, who was just sort of an arrogant D-bag, and just made him a D-bag.
Yep. I guess. My hope is, because these are all headmasters, right? What if there's like an upgraded Autobot like Infinitus times two who just gives him a huge chin? That would make me pretty happy. It won't happen, but it would make me pretty happy. But yeah, there's a lot of... The Sentinel Prime toy has got a lot of discussion going around it, because, you know, a lot of people are kind of mad about the Astrotrain thing. I don't begrudge them that. I don't think it's anything you can deny when you look at him. But I think he looks fun, and I like his colors. Like, he's just like Fire Guts Astrotrain with a new headmaster stuck on top, and that's... I don't feel like that's necessarily a terrible thing. This whole line so far, this first wave, is so crazy. Like, let's do the Sentinel Prime now. Clearly we're gonna do an Astrotrain sometime down the road. If not, then I'm sure someone who does retools of toys years later will be doing that. But Seth,
hey, I want to go on a quick tangent.
Yeah,
because I just invoked Transformers Animated.
Yes.
And then so that was Derek Wyatt. And then Derek Wyatt did the Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc.
Yeah.
And then have you seen the new Scooby-Doo show?
I watched about 10 seconds of it and then wanted nothing to do with it. And I okay, you linked me to the character designs. Yeah, I saw this too. It's terrible! It's...
it, man.
It has man. It has no reason to exist.
Okay, my history with Derek Wyatt stuff, like before I ever met the man, was Teen Titans. I first wrote it off as being like fake anime, but then it grew on me and I learned to really like it. That was a great show.
Yeah.
When we first saw pictures of Transformers Animated, I didn't know it was the same guy. And I thought, oh, these chins are stupid looking. What are they doing? And then it grew on me and it's a great show. Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., from the jump, I thought, these are good designs for the characters.
Yeah.
These look good. Man, what Be Cool Scooby-Doo looks terrible. It's like they were told to design the Scooby team as Family Guy characters and then roll it back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't, and I mean, this is very unfair of me, because I haven't even really looked at the show, but Mystery Incorporated was such a good Scooby-Doo show. It made someone who doesn't like Scooby-Doo, i.e. me, really like Scooby-Doo for the course of one TV show. And then it's over. They start reusing those designs or bits of them here and there in some movies. I'm like, whatever, I guess it's all done. I don't know why this made me so mad when I looked at this, but I was like, you know, for this to exist after Mystery Inc., I was like, what's the point? You know? It's Mystery Inc. is still so fresh in my mind. I look at this and I'm like, yeah, cool. You made fake Scooby-Doo. That's great. And I'm like, wow, I've turned into one of those people over Scooby-Doo of all things.
I've only watched a few episodes of Mystery Inc. because I also do not like Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't do it for me. But I thought some of the stuff they were doing in Mystery Inc. was really smart.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was funny that Fred was obsessed with building traps. Like, that was smart. That was clever. I liked it. I, having seen nothing of what's cool or Be Cool Scooby-Doo or whatever, I can't help but assume that they're like, oh, we have to be weird, like Family Guy or Adventure Time or Rick and Morty or something like that. But, and then their execution on that is like nowhere near the quality.
Yeah, it feels...
And I can't stay in Family Guy. I feel terrible lumping Family Guy in with those other things, but I assume it's even worse than Family Guy.
It just comes off looking so forced that, like, I'll happily say that I am not going to tell anyone my opinions right, because my opinion's coming from a super unfair place. But like Mystery Incorporated was so frigging well done. And like, cause Seth, like you, I liked the idea of Scooby-Doo when I was a kid, but the show was so boring, and so repetitive and did nothing for me. Mystery Inc. is
all the shows that were essentially the same thing better, like Speed Buggy and Jabberjaw, like and Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels. They were all basically the same damn show. I just like every iteration of it that wasn't Scooby-Doo better.
Yeah, and then Mystery Inc. was like someone who did love Scooby-Doo, who took everything they loved about it as a child, distilled it into like a fine wine, and crafted a beautiful saute around it, and went like, listen, I know you didn't like this when you were a kid, but there were parts of it I loved, and I made something that's entirely made of the stuff I loved. Here, have this. And it's like, it's delicious. Also, Seth, all those characters you just name-dropped at some point appear in Mystery Incorporated.
Right. Well, as soon as it was announced that Derek was working on Mystery Incorporated, I was hassling him on Twitter to get Jabberjaw in there.
Yep. Yep.
I would just, like, look for excuses to tease him about it.
Oh, God, that episode is so good, too. That episode...
I have to hunt that down, because, damn, I love Jabberjaw. It was so stupid.
That episode even pays homage to the old Hanna-Barbera animation style.
And like run past the same background like four times in a row.
Everyone like goes into slightly more faded colors. They go back to their old animation models instead of the Derek Wyatt models.
Oh, that's cool.
And then like they use all the old sound effects as well.
Nice.
Like when someone runs and plays for a bit, you get that do-do-do-do-do-do-do like sound effect. And then they, yeah. Anyway, I can, okay, you know how
that's
Super
the end
Link,
of your intermission. Let's go back.
You know how Super Link really gets me going on a mad tangent? Mystery Incorporated gets me going on a happy tangent. So yeah, I gotta roll that back. Seth, what do you, so, you know, you're just sort of coming at this fresh, without really, fresh, really much baggage. What do you think about Sentinel Prime?
I clicked away from it. Let me go back.
All right.
I don't know what to think. Because, yeah, the, like his spaceship mode, his not space shuttle mode, that looks kind of cool. I like that. His battleship train thing, I think it looks kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And then his robot mode, I think it's maybe the colors,
yeah,
that are throwing me, because it's a couple shades of orange and yellow, and everything just sort of seems to blend together in kind of a bland way.
Mm.
His turrets on his forearms are rad, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with somebody with turrets on their forearms.
Well, and his face sculpt is super mad.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks super angry. I think because he's so much red and orange that in photos that's really not going to help him, especially, like, when he's a hand-painted piece and, like, the shots aren't lit very well. Because yeah, red loves to blow out the moment you take a photo of it. I'd yeah, like to see what he looks like, you know, once he's, one, produced, and two, like, photographed under normal conditions, and maybe even better conditions.
Yeah, I guess I'm just really on the fence about it, because I will have to see more.
Yeah. I'm kind of sold on him mostly because of that, weirdly enough, that battleship mode. Like, it looks so much like half of Energon Omega Supreme, and I liked that toy a lot. Something about that semi-homage is like really capturing me. And I also just, I don't know why I love this too. I love the fact that the bridge cockpit section like kind of just stays in the top center on both, yeah, modes. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate that they're doing something different with having a character like Sentinel Prime as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I don't know, I'll also clarify, I don't know if I'm like kind of misinterpreting some of the panel points. It's just they seem to make it real clear that he's not like going to be a buddy with all the Autobots when he shows up or anything.
Yeah, because like in this slide it says Autobot Infinitus Sentinel Prime, so he's referred to as Autobot there. Like, if they were doing him as the Autobot leader instead of Optimus Prime, I probably would have been more interested in that concept.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Optimus Prime, we got leader class toys, and it's Blaster, but the mugshot silhouette that came with Blaster, I agree with a lot of people. There's a whole lot of, like, I gotta dig it up for you here so you can see it. there's a certain Power Master Optimus Prime-ishness to it, and one of the long-running rumors is that there's going to be a leader-class Power Master Optimus Prime in Titan's Return. So I would again say, you know, since we don't know for sure, don't get yourself 100% set on it and then get mad if it doesn't happen. But, oh, here, we even have a close-up picture of the mugshot. Perfect. Here you go. It looks kind of like a Power Master Prime to me, so I'm...
Yeah, I could see that.
He's got the little nubs on the sides of his head.
Mm-hmm.
But, with that out of the way, let's talk about the toy we actually can see, which is Blaster, who has a headmaster called Twin Cast.
That makes sense.
Yep. And Blaster's helmet actually does the Star Saber trick, where, like, you put the head in, and then the helmet comes down over top of it from the back, which is kind of cool. And Blaster turns into, like, it's called a base mode, but it looks basically like a dance party with guns all over it. He's got, like, three spotlights up top and, like, a DJ booth in the middle.
Well, it's base, like, musical base, not, like, a fortress base.
Exactly.
It's base mode.
Also, someone overheard on the show floor, you see the ramps coming off the side and how they have those nubs on them?
Uh-huh.
Someone overheard that this Blaster will be connecting to a larger base that they would not name. Come to your own conclusions. Also, Blaster has got a slot in his chest for his gun to store in, I believe, or at least like that three spotlight thing on the top of his base mode. But the Legends toys we're going to be talking about after this also can all fit in there too. So, you know, kind of like the tapes can go into Blaster's chest as you do. So yeah, we got leader-sized Blaster. He turns into a boombox thing, turns into a base. I think he looks cool. I don't know. My mind's not blown by it. He looks fine in robot mode. His boombox mode, I think, is suffering a whole lot. And his base mode is funny, but I don't expect everyone to enjoy it the way that I do. his robot mode looks pretty cool. The main thing I want to know about that toy is how much range does he have in terms of, like, poses he can do. Like, is he always going to just be like a big man made of boxes kind of half squatting, or can I get him into more subtle poses? And I won't know that till I actually have the toy in hand. But Seth, how are you feeling about leader class Blaster?
It's interesting. Blaster is, I would put him in the category of not just who would have thought there'd be headmasters, but also who would have thought there would have been a guy that turned into a radio again.
Yeah.
It seems true. It's weird. Like, in this day and age, it's weird. So, again, kudos for Hasbro for, you know, having the balls to just do it. Base modes, I've never really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the Scramble City, like, leaders all had their base mode, which, to me, just always looks like just a not properly transformed thing. And I especially hate it when, like, their heads are sticking out. Like, that's not the problem with Blaster, but, like,
yeah, that's, hey, I got good news for you. His head can never be sticking out.
Right. Well, or it's always sticking out.
This is true. Yes.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, I've just, it in my worldview, it might as well not even have a base mode, because I'll never bother to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'll probably only ever make him a radio once, and then, like, hold it up to my girlfriend and be like, "That's weird, right?" And then make him a robot again.
Yeah, I mostly want to know what the other bases look like. Because since I was a kid, one of my favorite ideas was to get all the Autobot and Decepticon cities, and then just, like, you know, number one, I never had them, so this was a total pipe dream, but get all of them, put them all in city mode, then line them up all next to each other and go, like, this is a country.
Could do that now.
It's true.
You got a job.
Yeah, but I got other things to spend money on.
Don't you got, like, a Patreon or something?
I got other money to spend Patreon money on. Like,
did you get hacked?
Like, toys.
Wasn't that, Patreon hacked recently?
Toys that don't turn into bases because I have no priorities. Yeah, it was one of those encrypted list grabs. So they didn't get any credit card numbers, but they got email addresses and encrypted passwords.
Have you gotten any cool emails for Viagra and Nigerian Prince fortunes yet?
I have, but those are unrelated.
No.
Those are ones I brought upon myself because I'm interested in Nigerian Viagra.
Nigerian boners.
But yeah, I want to know what the other Titans Return base modes look like, because there's a certain something about like getting them all lined up that might bring that particular childish glee to me. But that's totally a thing that I don't expect a lot of collectors to resonate with at all. I also like the way that those ramps are totally the MicroMaster base ramps, like right down to the shape. They have more texture, but that gives me a warm feeling too. So I guess let's go on to the legends, the cassettes, Rewind and Stripes. Let's talk about Stripes first. I think Stripes is trying to do something super cool, and I don't think it really works ever. Especially the physical one that there are a lot of different angled photos of in the actual photo shoot coverage. His quadruped mode is like just super wide and has a hole in the middle. And then his jet mode, it doesn't work, but the thing I love about it has a tiny cockpit that implies there are tinier people inside of his cockpit. That's cute. I think he looks kind of ridiculous. I like the, you know, the Kesha striping all over him. That's sort of adorable. I don't think he really works, but I think he's funny.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, this is the best homage to Steeljaw they could do.
Is he, though? Because I think Stripes was, like, one of those... He was a name in the original Transformers movie script that, like, was originally going to be a toy, and then they changed ideas on it. So it's a legacy name.
Was it
name.
A case that it was an early concept for Steeljaw?
I thought it was...
Like a tiger instead of a lion?
I thought it was like Ravage or something, but I don't know. You might be right.
Wait, Stripes was like a repainted Ravage as a tiger instead of a panther.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Once you mentioned it, wasn't there a whole bunch of weird stuff with the tapes going into the movie?
Yeah, there's
like,
going to be a scorpion.
They were all going to be completely different.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be like a stinger, the scorpion, and stuff.
Yeah. So it's vaguely cat-ish in shape. And then with those big yellow wings coming off now the inside of its hips and said, like, that's Steeljaw.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's orange with black stripes, and I don't know. And then the head looks like a dragon.
Yep.
Doesn't look like a cat at all.
I was wondering if you were
going to
say that.
I don't know what's going on. This thing is weird. Rewind is weird, too, because he turns into a square with a mini tape printed on it.
Okay, so what that's supposed to be, like what they said that is supposed to be, because these guys are turning into quote-unquote data players, is that that's his screensaver, is an 80s cassette.
Yeah, baloney.
I think it's funny.
He is a mini cassette recorder.
I think it's funny when they're like, he's so attached to being outmoded technology, he just gets a screensaver of a cassette.
No, he literally has a cassette inside of him. He just got bigger around his original cassette mode.
And then he turned into a tank.
Well, of course, because he's got all this extra mass now.
Yeah. I really like Rewind, and not just because I read the comic book that his head sculpt is totally a reference to. Because his head sculpt has got that little camera next to one of his eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that's totally more than meets the eye. But I also think he just looks
that
like
is
a...
so more than meets the eye. I mean, for sure.
Ridiculously
totally.
More than it meets the
ridiculous.
Eye.
Ridiculous.
How midi is that? Let me tell
totally.
You. I think he looks like a super fun little toy. I think his tank mode has a great silhouette for just a silly little tank thing. All those little pegs all over it are for those headmasters to stand on. So you can have like a tiny blaster like riding on this little tiny tank driving around in the base mode.
I just want the little blaster standing on the mini tape player, and it's a complete role reversal, because now Rewind is the tape player.
Yeah, and Blaster's like, hey, can I come in there? And he's like, you a tape? And he's like, no. He's like, get lost. Door's closed.
You know the rules. You wrote the rules.
How the tables turn now, boss! I don't know. I think this Rewind looks fantastic.
Now I'm the player. Don't hate the player.
The only thing I find, like, I understand where they're, what they're coming from of, like, hey, they turn, these things turn into rectangular shapes that go into Blaster's chest. But, like, at this point, I'm like, they turned into, like, smartphones that stick into the chest of a city. So I don't super get it anymore, but whatever, that seems cool. They go into the chest like they're supposed to.
Well, no, now he's not a tape player. He's like a Bluetooth speaker. And then there's a compartment to put your smartphone into, so it's not just like loose outside to get dropped or something.
Actually, what you just said makes incredible sense.
I know, because I've been sipping bourbon the whole show, so I'm becoming smarter.
According to the blurb that came with these, they turn into quote spy tablets. So they turn into tiny iPads in an OtterBox.
Yeah.
Anyway, Seth, it sounds like neither of them are really clicking it.
Buzzkill, man. The whole spy tablet thing, that just brought me down.
What
was your question?
It sounds like, as I said, it sounds like they're not clicking with you.
No, I like how idiotic they are.
Okay.
Especially Stripes is super dumb and terrible, but like in that way where now I want it because it's so bad.
I didn't feel that way till I saw his jet mode. It's the jet mode that does it, with just the cockpit, that super detailed, hyper realistic cockpit where it's like at some point he's like, no, wait, this is going to be a disguise. They're going to think I'm really a jet.
Well, I want to imagine that whoever designed it was like, I'm doing Steeljaw, and everyone above him at Hasbro and or Takara was like, no, you are forbidden. If you make Steeljaw, you're fired. And then he made this thing and was like, I'm going to put those yellow wings on its hips. And I don't care what anybody says.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to make a dragon tiger jet tablet box.
So we also got to see part of wave two of these legends back at, from the BotCon photos where they showed Buzzsaw. So I believe that means one could logically deduce that they are going to do Decepticon spy tablets, from which one could logically deduce there will probably be some kind of leader class Soundwave. The main question is he going to be that blaster toy, or is he going to be his own thing?
I really hope it's not just a repainted blaster.
That would be a bummer.
But that'd be disrespectful. That would be disrespectful to Soundwave.
It would just be turnabout as fair play, because when they did that Voyager Soundwave that shot the disc guys everywhere from Fall Cybertron, they repainted him with a new head and chest into Blaster. So
yeah, but Blaster was the other tape player.
Yes, now Blaster's finally the tape player, and Soundwave's got to...
No, he'll never be the tape player.
He's got to play second fiddle.
The other one.
Soundwave's like, hey, wait, I thought I'd go first. It's like, yo, you were late to the meeting, buddy.
No, he's just being fashionably late because that's how awesome he is.
He's like, what's up, everybody? How do you like my Soundwave impersonation?
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Soundwave had a mouthful of bees.
How crazy would that be if that's just what they did back in the 80s? Because whatever, this is a toy commercial.
It's like the Autobots got Soundwave surrounded. They're like, ah, we got you, Soundwave. There's no way you can escape. And then he rips off his faceplate and just like a swarm of bees come shooting out.
Fan art, please. That about does it for the Titans Returns. I'm going to always forget which one gets the S on the end. The Titans Return reveals. So Seth, you sound pretty jazzed about this. Headmasters everywhere.
Yeah, everything looks cool.
Yeah.
There's more pictures of Skylynx. I can't wait to get my hands on that idiot.
I was gonna move on to that. Yeah, we got
dumb.
We got Skyrain chilling out, like my favorite combiner now. Just like hanging out, looking really shocked at Skullcruncher.
Yeah, this crazy gold cat head.
And he's like, what's this guy doing here? With like Hound for an arm. Like, I love it. I'm so stoked for Skylynx. And the G2 combiners, Menasor and Superion, were chilling out there as well.
Yeah, I'll probably pass on the G2 color ones.
G2 Menasor looking real turquoise.
I got a mortgage now, man. Repaint's got to be more than just G2 color.
Yo, but it's purple. Like in the 90s.
You know what's going to be purple on my face when my girlfriend chokes me to death when I don't have enough money to pay the mortgage?
Yeah, it might turn... Well, yeah, it'll turn purple eventually.
I'm going to be so purple, they're going to have to reshoot Jessica Jones on Netflix and replace David Tennant with me as the purple man. That's how purple I'm going to be.
I have not been keeping up with that at all because I want to go in dead blind, dead fresh.
Oh, looks amazing.
I want to be super blind when I go into that.
The teaser trailers are cool. They don't tell you anything. They're just kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I knew virtually nothing about the Jessica Jones character. You're probably not going to want to watch a couple of these videos that I found that like spell out the Alias comic that kind of really introduced her and her story.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know bits of the Marvel Comics version of the character, but that's all. Like, and I'm keeping it... Like, that's all I'm going to know going in.
Yeah. So, like, I all that I knew before that was she was married to Luke Cage and they had a baby. And during Civil War, she was like, whatever, I'm taking the baby and we're hiding out in Canada until this thing blows over. That's the only thing I knew about Jessica Jones. Now knowing more, like, if they really kind of hit on some of the themes and ideas from that Alias comic... which has nothing to do with the Alias TV show. As dark as Daredevil was, Jessica Jones has the potential of being like way darker.
Oh well, yeah, way darker, like, in
none more dark.
In subject matter, absolutely. Like, Daredevil's dark, but it was like, you know, it was like loudly dark. It's like all the lights are off, dude's getting his head turned into mush in this car door, there's blood, people die. Daredevil. Jessica Jones, I think, will be a lot more of an under the skin kind of darkness. Depends on how they do Purple Man, really.
Well, I don't think they're going to paint him purple.
What I heard on Twitter is it's just his hair, because I saw people complaining about that. Mm. And I was like, I don't really care enough. Like, to me, the him actually being purple is like the least important part of the character.
You think they could like tint him and have a little purplish tint to his skin and not just be like straight up, this dude looks like a grape.
Yeah, here's Raisin Man. What does he do? Spits raisins. I don't know.
I when they announced those four shows, I was like, oh, Jessica Jones, that's going to be the one that they have to do. But man, I am psyched for it right now. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, Seth, there's one last thing that we got to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about it.
This is the secret reveal, which is they had a Bruticus from, like, a Combiner Wars Bruticus there. So, number one, Combiner Wars Bruticus, I think it looks pretty cool with the gray chest plate, and I hope that's the only one they're doing, because they kept talking about maybe doing a tan one first, and I'm like, please don't. But he had Legend Shockwave on his back the entire time. So, here's four pictures.
Where did I see that picture?
No, here, I shot you all the links.
Cool. Because I remember I saw it clicking around, but then I was like, oh no, where'd it go?
Like, there's this tiny little shockwave creeping over the back. And you're like, hey, wait a second, what's all this about? And then, you know, hey, people went, hey, what's this back here? And just took a bunch of pictures of Shockwave in his gun mode, just like sitting on the back.
Yeah.
I think that Shockwave looks super damn cool.
Yeah. And now we knew that was coming already.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
yeah, just nobody was expecting to see it.
Yeah, the last time we saw him, he was almost entirely made of translucent plastic. So now we're seeing, like, you know, actual Pantones and stuff. I also am really liking the sheer number of joints that look like they're attached to his arms, like the little ratcheting joint and the ball joint.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be a sweet little Shockwave. And he looks
it's going to be the year of Shockwave.
He looks like he's a great size for Bruticus, too. Like, he almost looks better just back there as like a shoulder cannon, you know? If there's some way to get him to flip over top, it would be super cool.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
And I think Bruticus looks great. Like, you know, it sucks that Blastoff is a jet, but I'm over it. It double sucks that Blastoff also has the wrong head sculpt, but I'm over it. The color balance looks totally cool.
Save us, Japan.
They probably will. But yeah, it was confirmed, I think, through artwork and everything, and, you know, the production samples getting out now, that Blastoff not only is a jet, but he does not have the incredibly Blastoff-looking Fireflight head sculpt. He has the Slingshot head sculpt, which looks like a bald man wearing aviators. And that's a shame. I'll get over it. I mean, mad.
the only character I want to see that head being reused for would be Leader One.
Yeah. Yes. I would love a Leader One version of that, of the Slingshot toy. It'd be, like, Spot on. Well,
grab a can of Gray Krylon paint at the hardware store and
I'm going to go win a custom competition. But yeah, I actually only just while we were talking about Jessica Jones noticed Shockwave was there. So this is all kind of fresh to me.
You know who's playing Jessica Jones, right?
I have forgotten every casting choice except David Tennant, and that's only because everyone talks about him.
You watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Doy. That was Jane.
Really?
Yeah. She's going to play Jessica Jones.
All right.
Yeah, that chick.
Yeah, let's do this.
She seems like she could play a damaged girl pretty well.
I really liked her in Breaking Bad. I'm happy to see her in something I'm interested in.
Yeah, not some crud-ass sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other thing to talk about, and this is just be super brief, because Seth, you're not really into RID, but this is big news, and I gotta bring this up. I've spent the last half a year saying that the RID line is like the kicked puppy of Transformers right now, and that there are all these amazing Decepticon designs that will never get toys. And then last week, they suddenly, a Megatronus toy appeared on shelves for sale. And I was like, whatever, that's still not my boy Thunderhoof. Seth.
Let me guess. They made a Thunderhoof.
Deluxe class Thunderhoof. Now,
that's even crazier than bringing Headmasters back. What?
Let me be clear here. I'm sticking with my intention. As far as I'm concerned, this toy does not exist until I'm filming it with my camera. I refuse to let naive hope cloud my judgment that this toy will actually exist and come out. What are
you, a Bigfoot denier?
Exactly. No such thing as Bigfoot, no such thing as Warrior Thunderhoof. But I'm hopeful now. I really want this toy because I love this character. I love his design. I love his voice. I love his... just his character bio. Frank Stallone voices him as basically a mafia boss. And like
you had me at Frank Stallone.
Yeah, Thunderhoof is a Cybertronian mafia boss voiced by Frank Stallone, and that's basically his character every time he appears on the show.
I was formulating in my head a stupid voice to do and be like, does Thunderhoof sound like this? And then say things in a stupid voice. But as soon as you said Frank Stallone, I was, like, stupefied, and I couldn't think of anything else.
Like, do you understand where I'm coming from now? Like, yeah. this year of all the Decepticon, like, so many of the Decepticon designs in this show are amazing, and we'll never get transforming toys. But Thunderhoof was so wonderfully designed to be a simple, fun toy. I was like, you are kidding me that you are not making this yet.
I'm never going to get my leader class Bisque.
Nope. Well... okay, here's the thing. So there's five...
here's the thing. That's the other thing they announced this week.
There's five major Decepticons in that show who end up forming a team, and they've now confirmed four of them getting good toys, because another toy they confirmed was a deluxe version of Fracture, which is this bounty hunter motorcycle guy.
Uh-huh.
And so the only one they got to do now is Jim Cummings played the voice of this character called Clampdown, which is this old beat-up like 70s car with wood paneling that just turns into a lobster man. Like, he just turns into a large cartoony robot lobster, or, like, crab or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have a toy. Instead, they're making a toy of, admittedly, one of the other great characters in the show who's been in multiple episodes, Quillfire, which is a porcupine anarchist. The only problem is, as far as I can tell, this toy does not have any quills, and instead is carrying a pistol, a needler from Halo, that he never had in the show. Well, nonetheless, he looks
in
good.
In some ways, the Needler is the best gun in Halo, so...
Yeah. So I'm not too sad, because if someone was going to get a toy, Quillfire was high on my list, because I like him. Because he's, like, talking about, like, the Autobots being fascists, and he's going to stand up for the free man, and, you know, anarchy! And then, the moment he gets in trouble, he's just like, yo, I don't believe none of that, I'm out of here! Like, he's like a total, like... one of those people who says that they're going to overthrow the government, but totally will never do it.
He's like a trust fund kid going to the protest.
Yep, and all he does is he has these quills with poison on him. He has a fancy logo he slashes into the side of things to put his graffiti on them. And he's like, aha, I'm Quillfire! And that's about it. Here's Fracture, which is the bounty hunter motorcycle guy, which a lot of people have been wanting a good toy of. He's
the guy that shoots the other things out, right?
Yeah. He's got the minicons. This one doesn't. He just has a big-ass gun.
That's a pretty cool-looking space chopper.
Yeah. So, three new Decepticons happening. Like I said, The way this line is gone, I'm not going to give in to the naivety of hope, but I look forward to purchasing these toys.
Well, you know what I've always said about hope.
Hope
is the first step down the road of disappointment.
Yep. I refuse, like for any other Transformers thing, optimism all the way. RID has been treated like a kick puppy for a year now. I have no... I'll see them when they come out. Also, here's the last new Decepticon. This is Megatronus, which is voiced by the guy who played... who did he play? Starbuck, I think. He's the big bad at the end of the show.
Like the original Starbuck from the original Battlestar?
Gil Gerard? Okay. No, that's Buck Rogers, not Starbuck. I got they both have Buck in their name.
Buck Rogers.
The original Buck Rogers plays Megatronus, and it's a pretty terrible voicing job, unfortunately. But yeah, this Megatronus also looks pretty cool in robot mode. His vehicle kind of just looks like a fusion cannon on two treads.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of extra mass that's supposed to be in there, but whatever. I think they all look fun. The only bummer about these RID toys is they are insanely overpriced at Toys R Us.
He's not just a fusion cannon on treads. He's a fusion cannon on treads with a bayonet.
I missed the knife. You're right. There is a knife there. All sins forgiven. But yeah, you know how like Combiner Wars limbs can cost, you know, maybe $16-$17 some places?
Yeah.
The RID Deluxes, which are generally lower parts count than the Combiner Wars Deluxes, often run for $20 at Toys R Us.
It's idiotic.
And it's ridiculous. They are not worth... a lot of them are completely, totally fine toys that are super not worth $20.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where, unless I am desperate, like I've not seen this thing anywhere else and I've been hunting for it for days, I won't buy anything at Toys R Us that isn't on some sort of a deal or discount.
Yeah. It really sucks. And in Canada, I mentioned this last week, Toys R Us have an exclusive like sub-branding of RID called Clash of the Transformers. And it's basically a couple of repainted Legends and repainted Deluxes. In Canada, the Deluxes are $20, and the Clash of the Transformers Deluxes are $22. Which is like almost insulting, although I know it's not intentionally insulting. It's just like, what on earth is the extra $2 for? Like nothing.
For the GoBots reference.
I guess so. Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, that's all the New York Comic Con Transformers stuff. Before we close up the show with some What We Got, Seth, was there anything else so far that I know you've not been able to keep up with it too much, but have you heard any New York Comic Con news that just tickled your fancy?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Ah.
I heard on the, what was it, the Tell 'em Steve Dave podcast, Brian Quinn saw a dude dressed as Marty McFly from 2015 Back to the Future 2 and how much the kid spent on his costume. That's all I heard from New York Comic Con.
Damn. The only thing I've caught that made me happy is there's some new company getting distributed by Bluefin. They're called like Storm Collectibles or something. They're doing 1/12 scale, like 6-inch scale Mortal Kombat 1 figures that look pretty incredible. They had a Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and Goro on display. And the Goro looked badass. Let me see if I can bring up...
Oh, that reminds me. My Drudge Dreads and my pile of loot.
Mine too! I'm pretty excited. Yeah, here we go. I found the Toku Nation? No, Toy Arc. Okay, it's a Toku Nation link off Google that goes to Toy Arc. But here's the Storm Collectibles stuff. Yeah, that's pretty roundabout way to get to this, I admit.
Wow. I just went to Big Bad to like check my pre-order thing. They have all 9 Impossible Toys, not Bumblebee variations,
mm-hmm,
for $45.
Those toys, if you get ones that don't suck, I never got one that sucked, but I heard from people who did, and that was unfortunate. I got like 3 or 4 of them that were fine.
Yeah, my girlfriend got 2 that seemed fine.
Yeah, I like that toy. I think it was for all the stuff Impossible Toys did not pull off very well, that toy ended up pretty okay. But yeah, this Storm Collectibles Goro is super exciting. Because he's got like lots of posability in all 4 arms.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I want from a Goro, is a nicely posable Goro. And the sign that Storm Collectibles had up also said that they've got the Street Fighter V license, and that also makes me excited, because it looks like they know how to do posable toys, and, you know, God knows Street Fighter could use posable toys of more than four members of the cast. So I really hope these guys can, for both of these licenses, get to do more than, like, four or five figures. Yeah. Real bummer of late is Mezco. They haven't said it's not happening, but they said that they have currently, for Mortal Kombat X, no real plans past Series 2. So that's, like, six characters done. And it's just, it costs lots to make the molds. They don't know if the interest is there. They don't really have anything concrete for Series 3. They're not saying no, but it's not looking great. And that kind of bums me out.
I've never even seen them anywhere.
Oh, they were all over the place over here at EB Games and
I've checked GameStop, which is the same company.
So I think GameStop hasn't been getting that stuff because they want to open like a dedicated collectibles sub-branding, is what I heard.
Well, the last time I went to the GameStop here, they have loads of collectible figure stuff.
Yeah.
And it started with just like a display cabinet with like a PlayArts Kai figure for $100. And now it's like all these pop vinyls, which are just like a plague on the earth. They're everywhere in mass. And they had a handful of Star Wars things, but nothing I wanted. It seems like they're really kind of going for it on collectible toys.
Yeah, I heard, maybe I misunderstood this. I thought I caught something on Twitter about them wanting to open basically like GameStop collectible stores in some of their storefronts, but I would assume that's why maybe some of the Mortal Kombat stuff hasn't made it out over there. But pop vinyls. Big news for Steven Universe fans. Merch license acquired. Downside, it's pop vinyls. Kind of bummed me out. Seth, let's talk about what we got this week.
Okay.
Did you get any Transformers this week?
Transformers new.
Aww.
Well, it's one of those deals. Like, TJ was kind of saying the same thing. It's like, I got everything out already.
Yeah.
That I care about, at least. But, like, in that pile of loot, I have that third party reflector.
Oh, visualizers or whatever.
Visualizer. And they have that Judge Dredd is in there now. And my Toshami effect impact burning flame red is in there.
Man, I saw the burning flame things at a store in Toronto in person. Uh-huh. And they look so cool. I was like, I got to get one.
I was worried that you were like, man, they look like hot garbage.
They're in gigantic boxes because of the size of the amount of space they take up for the effect.
Uh-huh.
And they only had the blue ones. And I was like, these look so cool. But I have maybe one figure that would look cool with these in blue. And I have so many figures that would look cool with these in red. But everyone buys the red one like right away. So I'm jealous of you now.
Oh, you should be.
You and your red flames.
You should give in to jealousy.
Become a Sith?
Is that what it takes?
I don't know.
Be jelly?
Jealousy is one of those bad emotions.
Well, there was that line. There was that line in Star Wars when Darth Sidious said to Anakin, "You jelly, bro." And then that's when he snapped.
Legendary line. I remember that one. As for Transformers stuff myself, I recorded a podcast like less than a week ago, so I don't really have much to say as far as new Transformers. I got the reviews up for the Gravity Builder robots and sent them back to Chosen Prime. Those were pretty cool. But yeah, I have, I've just really got a pile of loot stuff because it's the same position. Like, you know, it's not like there's nothing coming out, but it's a slow trickle right now. Most of the stuff coming out right now is news. So yeah, I mean, there's third party stuff I could pursue, but I've got some stuff in piles of loot, and I can't like just go and keep completing combiner teams. I have bits and pieces of, because every one of those completions is like $200 to $400 of stuff. So I'm like, once upon a time it was doable. Then the Canadian dollar fell horribly, and now I have to be a lot more careful about what I do. until it hopefully gets back to some semblance of what it used to be. Thinking if I messed with anything around here that I hadn't messed with in a while, because that year of the monkey thing is coming out, I messed around a little bit with Air Attack Optimus Primal, because he's just chilling out in a West Coast shelf over here. I forgot how much fun it is that he's full of Gary Chalk voice. So he just goes like, hurrah! When you start like waving him around. That's pretty fun. If you guys have never messed with that toy, it's a pretty darn cool toy. As far as I understand it, the one coming out that's in like Optimus Prime colors doesn't have Gary Chalk's voice in it, and that's like a crying shame, because that's part of the reason why that toy is so great. That and his like his furless bright pink anus. That's the other great part. He's got a big butt. He's got no hair. I guess let's move into the final section then. Seth, did you do any off-topic stuff this last little while?
Oh, way more than I should have. All things considered, it's bad. It's real bad.
I need help.
I need a lot of help. I need a psychiatrist. I need an intervention. I need something.
Well, Seth, I have real short, like three component off-topic. If you want a moment to compose yourself.
All right, not fair. It's troubling.
All happened today. I got a really good lavalier microphone, like a little clip-on microphone.
Okay.
So now, next conventions I hit up, I can have a mic just on myself, and I don't have to hold a mic up to myself. I can just concentrate on whoever I'm interviewing. And it's
really leave them feeling unsettled.
Exactly. Just staring
like,
at them.
Just locked eyes, like, speaking to my microphone.
Well, everyone I talked to, they're like, oh, so you're going to get a clip-on mic for when you interview people. You can put a clip-on mic on them. I'm like, no, that people don't like having mics clipped on them.
Buy their own mic to clip on them. This is mine.
People, like, I'm not going to tell a guest, like, all right, now open your jacket so I can run the clip up the inside of your jacket. Like, this is so I can have a mic on me and just, like, not be carrying two microphones around and a camera. Now it's just one mic, one camera. My hands are free. So I'm super excited about that. And then today I was at London Drugs, and they had some Star Wars 4-inch Black Series toys on sale for $7 Canadian each, which is super cheap. And they had two characters that I thought looked cool, so I thought, hey, $7 each, let's just do it. So I got the Snow Trooper Commander.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of those Star Wars toys that's really poseable, and then also has a T-crotch. So Adam Paulus loves him, I'm sure.
He loves everything, but he has to, because he's in the biz.
Well, yeah, but he also loves him because they can sit. And this guy can sit. But he's pretty cool, even though he has a T-crotch. He's got, like, this amazing ball joint in the middle of his chest with an enormous amount of range. And then, like, this really cool, like, slim holster on his Snowtrooper skirt for his pistol. The only problem with this one is his left hand is, like, on a swivel, but it unpegs from the swivel super easy. So, like, his right hand keeps falling off as I'm posing him. And I don't know if that's a bad thing, because he's also a Snowtrooper, and, like, you know, that means that Obi-Wan can cut his hand off over and over again. But it's also kind of a bummer. So he's okay. The other figure they had was the Black Series reissue of the vintage Bastila Shan.
What? Obi-Wan cuts Snowtrooper hands off over and over?
Well, I don't know. Obi-Wan cuts everyone's hands off over and over. Star Wars. Like, I'm an expert, but I don't remember clearly
happens. Go ahead. Okay. Bounty Hunter Shim Sham or whatever you were saying.
Bastila Shan from Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, her.
Yeah, Battle Meditation. You know? Whatever that is. Anyway, I always liked that game, and this figure was like $7. I was like, let's do it. What's up?
I don't know if the microphone picked that up, but somebody was yelling outside.
I heard a dude yelling. What's going on out there?
I don't know. I think it was just someone yelling at a car that was driving by.
Is there a rumble going on?
I hope not. This is supposed to be a quiet neighborhood.
Well, I mean, as long as they don't break your stuff. Anyway. So yeah, Bastila, really nicely done figure. She's like got her lightsaber with its two yellow blades. She's got the unlit version. It pegs onto her belt real well. She's really poseable, except for her hips, which is a T-crotch.
And now, is this a new mold? Because they did a really hard-to-find Bastila a bunch of years ago.
From what I've read, this is that same really hard-to-find Bastila.
Okay.
They re-released her as number 20 in the 4-inch Black series. I think number 20. Something like that. Number 20, I'm pretty sure. She looks okay. She's got this weird thing, though, where they sculpted, like, a single strand of hair over her forehead. And then they painted it. And it somehow looks like a bald spot, even though she clearly has a full head of hair. It's super weird. But she has at least 4 poses I found that she can convincingly do with her crazy lightsaber.
All sitting.
Yes, she can hella sit. Like, she's got, like, full Adam Paul's clearance.
Figure of the year.
Yep. but yeah, for, you know, when these are, like, you know, 10, 15 bucks, I'm way less interested. When they're, like, $7, whatever, I can deal with a T-crotch. Like, it's a cool little toy. Fully posable, like, arms, at least. Universal knees with a thigh swivel, although I don't really know what that does for you when your hips only go forward and backward. But she's really solid for, like, a very, like, thin, lithe figure. She's got lots of joints still, ankle joints and everything. So they're pretty cool. That's what I did off topic. So, Seth, how can I help? What's going on?
Okay, so I was lamenting a show or two ago about how all these Toys to Life things were coming.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend and I, we were going to have a discussion, and we were going to have to make decisions. And the choices were, do we keep going on Skylanders? Do we ignore Skylanders and do Lego? Or do we do the worst possible thing and get both? And we did the worst possible thing.
Oh, dear. I almost bought the Portal set, if it helps. Almost.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to spend $30 on a poly bag of Lego parts.
Well, this is what we did for the Skylanders. So, that opening weekend, Toys R Us was doing their, like, 40% off BOGO thing. And we got everything they had that first day except for the single-pack Terrafin. Because I found a checklist that there was going to be a 2-pack that was a figure in a vehicle that would include that Terrafin. So it's like, okay, well, we're not going to get the single Terrafin if we're going to get the 2-pack. And then a few figures have trickled out since then, but there wasn't a BOGO, so we're waiting. And, you know, it seems pretty safe to wait. Like, maybe you don't risk it if it's a non-Toys R Us exclusive figure, like a Target exclusive. Those seem to be a little trickier to find. Maybe you just get those when you find them and you don't risk it. But for most Skylander figures, you can wait until you find a sale or some sort of deal. Then with the Lego Dimensions, when that launched, the weekend we were moving. So it was really dumb that we took time out of moving to go hunt down Lego figures. The only real deal we could find was again at Toys R Us, and it was not as good as a BOGO. But it was like a $10 gift card when you bought the starter set.
Mm-hmm.
And then another $10 gift card when you bought $35 or more of the other sets. So what we did was I bought the starter set. One of the larger packs and one of the smaller packs, because that got over $35. So I got two $10 gift cards. Then my girlfriend bought a larger set and a smaller set, which is the closest we figured we could get to $35. Still going over a little bit, but not as much. She got a $10 gift card. Then we left, went to this lamp store that was nearby. Oh, no, we went to Best Buy. We went to Best Buy and looked around there, and there was nothing. Then we went back to Toys R Us. We each got another big set and small set. So we got another $10 gift card each. Then we came back the next day and got everything we didn't get the day before, used all of our gift cards, and got two more $10 gift cards. Right.
So you were able to stack the gift cards?
Yes.
Okay. Usually Toys R Us doesn't let you do that. That's kind of amazing.
Well, I just handed the dude all the cards I had, and he went boop, 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 and it's cool.
All right.
So then by making separate purchases, then we were able to get, we got as many gift cards as we were going to be able to get without getting all the sets. We decided to hold off on the Chimara and Ninjago sets. Even though one of the Ninjago sets is pretty rad because the vehicle is like this cool like mech samurai.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're like, do we really care about these two properties? Not really. Let's just get everything else. And we haven't played the game yet. Because Rock Band 4 came out. So I got the whole big giant band in the box, like all the stuff. And I'm really disappointed that on, I don't know about the PlayStation 4, but at least on the Xbox One, if you have old wired instruments, they don't work.
Yeah, Aaron was telling me a whole bunch about that.
Which is really dumb, because they just have a USB connector. So I'm hoping if it's a hardware compatibility issue, that Microsoft might do something in a firmware update for the system itself to support those old instruments. Then I could have two guitars without having to buy another new guitar.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend's really good at the singing. So when we've been playing together, I do the guitar parts and she sings, and it's fun. Man, they really, really scaled back on Guitar Hero 4 as far as just the presentation. Like, there's no cutscenes. There's no cool opening musical number. Like, remember in Rock Band 1?
Yeah.
The characters, like, ramming through the desert, going from, like, crazy vehicle to vehicle.
Yeah, it got
me
hyped.
Rocking on top of a van and then a bus. There's nothing like that in 4. And I was like, when I started it up the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see the song. I hope it's like an animated thing, like Rock Band 1 or 2, and not the live video that they did for 3, because I thought that was disappointing. And then it was nothing. And there's a lot less options in your character creation. Just way less. Like, you don't have shoe options anymore.
So they kind of
shoes are just connected to the pants.
They really boiled it down to just like the most like you're gonna play this for the music and not even look at the screen kind of thing.
Well, from what I've been hearing is Harmonix is saying that they're not gonna do Rock Band as a sequel game anymore. Like, there's, according to them, there's not gonna be a Rock Band 5. I'm sure if Activision leans on them hard enough, there will be.
Yeah,
but they want Rock Band 4 to be a platform that they'll just add to. So conceivably, they can add more customization options. They could add more of the other things that are missing. So there's potential. And then the way you get your old legacy songs in to 4 is not elegant or easy in any way whatsoever. It's a real bummer.
I heard it's a troublesome process. That's right. About it.
So you have to go into the store and then hunt all the songs down.
God. Okay.
And they're not all in there yet. They're going to be adding songs as they go. And a Harmonix rep has advised that you get your songs as fast as possible because a bunch of licenses are going to be expiring soon.
Oh, that sucks for me because I want to pick up that game, but I'm not looking to pick that up anytime soon.
Well, I'm not going to say probably. You might be out of luck.
Man.
Hopefully they'll sign new deals, but so you have to go through the store catalog and look for songs that say purchased next to it instead of a price. Except for, as I went through the menus, only about 4 songs had purchased next to it. All the other ones I had to click on as though I'm going to buy it, and then they'll say, oh, hey, you don't have to buy this. You already own it. So yeah. I had to go through all the songs and try to remember which ones I was supposed to have and then click on them. And if it turns out I didn't, then I had to back out. And then it seems if I click on too many songs, then it starts bogging down and not loading the next screen. It's a bummer. And there's a Freezy Pop song that I am pretty much positive I'm supposed to have, but I can't get it without paying.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that makes me wonder if I'm missing any other songs, because I'm supposed to have them and just don't remember that I'm supposed to have them. I'm just not sure. It's great that they are supporting old songs. It's great that they are supporting old instruments. It's just a little disappointing how they executed doing that. Because there's an option in the options to rebuild your set list. And I assumed, oh, this is cool. I just select this and then it's going to scrub the store and start downloading everything I'm supposed to have. And that's not what it is. You have to hunt down all your songs, then click that option to add them to your library. And then when I was going through the store later, songs that I had downloaded and put into my library still had the price next to them instead of saying in library.
Man, it's a mess.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully as time goes on, they could clean that up and make it a little more functional. But the game plays just how you'd want it. It's still Rock Band. So if you want new Rock Band, this is your game.
Yeah.
Jeff Gerstmann had a great suggestion in regard to the title on this week's Giant Bomb, where if this is supposed to be a platform, but like some Activision marketing director insisted that they had to put a new number on it or put the number 4 on it. He suggested that they should have called it Rock Band Forever.
I like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. And then I downloaded Transformers Devastation.
Ooh, okay, I want to play it, but right now I'm over in BC.
Mm-hmm.
My only computer is my MacBook. I can't play it on a Mac.
Well, you could if you boot camped.
I can't boot camp right now. Because medical reasons. Medical cowardice reasons. So now I'm like, I also have a couple gift cards. I'm like, should I just save my gift cards up for PS4 and wait till I have that?
No, get an Xbox One like me and Aaron.
I don't want an Xbox One.
You suck.
Yeah, I do.
Aaron and I are cool. The rest of you are turn cloaks.
Yo, enjoy your X bone or whatever you call it. With your Halo.
Yeah, well, you have fun not playing anything cool on your PS snore.
You mean, is there a dollar sign on the S?
It's like a row of dollar signs. You really gotta drag it out.
It's like snore?
Yeah.
All right, I can dig that. So I'm like, do I do that?
There's also dollar signs in snore.
Or should I chance Devastation on my PC? And my PC had a lot of trouble running Shadows of Mordor. So I'm like, modern games now scare me on it.
Yeah.
If
you had plans on going next gen, I wouldn't want to risk not being able to play it in a way that looks really nice.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I don't think it's that graphically groundbreaking. And with Shadows of Mordor, you're dealing with this big, giant, open world.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to tax your system even more, too. Too bad there wasn't a demo you could download to see how well it ran.
I mean, the only security I have now is Steam Returns, but, like, I don't want to buy it then return it if it doesn't work. Because then I still have to spend all that money, and then Steam has it in my Steam wallet, and something about that bothers me.
Yeah, but even if your computer could only run it as good as a PS4/Xbone, then I don't see any problem with getting it on the computer.
Okay, because I did catch from someone that apparently it's not a very resource-intensive game, and it runs at 60 on PC if you get things going right.
Yeah.
But Seth, like, have you played it much?
No.
Ah.
I played it some. I played, like, the first level, or your Optimus Prime, and then the next level, you switch to Bumblebee, and then I had to stop. and I haven't been able to get back to it yet. But I think it looks great. It's fun that they got as many of the original voice actors as they could. And it was fun playing it while my girlfriend was sitting on the couch. And I'm like, the voice of this character? Yeah, I met that guy. The voice of this character? Yeah, I talked to that dude when we were in Chicago. She's like, where was I? I'm like, I don't know, but I talked to Dan Gilzan. She's like, you did everything fun when I wasn't around. Oh, you see Grimlock here? I pestered the hell out of him at a BotCon. And then he came to our hotel room and hung out.
Yeah. that game looks super fun. Like, a lot of people I know who have been playing it, who are Transformers fans, have had a lot of nice things to say. From what I understand, like, people who have looked at it, it's apparently, like, not super long if you critical path it. And it's, you know, it's a somewhat shallow looking game to play, but the best way I heard it described is it is like a really video gamey video game. Like, it doesn't try to mask anything under the pretenses of like the story mode or the narrative. It's like, there's that's happening, but then you just punch robots a whole lot.
Yeah, and the game really kind of throws you into just playing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of tutorial as you go, but, like, nothing tells you how to shoot a gun. And I'm, like, hitting buttons, and I'm seeing that I have a gun, but I'm like, how do I shoot this gun? And then I see Laserbeak flying around over some buildings, and I'm like, I gotta shoot Laserbeak. He's just over there flying around that building in a circle. And then I just had to, like, trial and error figure out how to shoot the gun. And then that shooting Laserbeak was a collectible.
Ha! That sounds really fun. I watched some of the... I decided to break my little thing, and I was like, well, I'll see a little bit of the game. I'll watch some character intros that were, like, in a supercut on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And some really cool stuff in there. So I really want to play it.
I really like the art style in the game. I think it looks really cool. And I went into it not expecting a whole lot as far as gameplay and story and length. So it seems to be exactly what I kind of had mentally prepared myself it to be.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I dig it so far from that one level.
Yeah, but like everyone...
I played Optimus Prime as a real prick that destroyed every tree and car that was in the city.
Everyone who has been playing it told me, like, it's, you know, it as an engine, it's pretty solid. It's really well built for smacking stuff around. I saw a comment somewhere else that compared it more to... Oh, what's the one where you're a smoking robot suit? I can't remember its name anymore.
Smoking robot suit?
Yeah, Platinum game that kind of went under the radar.
Mm.
Starts with a V. Ah, this is going to bother me now.
I don't know offhand.
Vanquish.
I don't know anything about Vanquish.
All I know is GogDog really loves Vanquish. Really loves Vanquish.
As much as Destiny?
I have... Maybe. Like, loves Vanquish, gets mad if you talk smack on Vanquish. I don't know nothing about Vanquish, so I just bring it up now and then to go, I don't bring
it. Well, be careful. He might get mad.
But what if I want to make someone mad about video games?
Well, then just start making up garbage.
God, Vanquish! The multiplayer was garbage!
Find out what current gen video game system they have, and then talk about how you want to buy the other one.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm so stoked. Like, all you suckers getting rid of your Ouyas, I'm collecting those up. I'm going to be a rich man.
Oh, there was some Kickstarter from some company. They got the molds or something for Atari Jaguar and the Jaguar molds. Cartridges. Yeah, so they can make new systems and use the Jaguar shells.
Yeah.
And they did a Kickstarter because they wanted to launch this new cartridge-based console. And they were like, hey, remember when you just bought a game and stuck it in and it worked and you didn't have to download day one patches and stuff? That's what we're going to do. And we're going to get these, like, smaller indie companies to make cartridges for us. So, like, you'll buy a Shovel Knight cartridge for a lot of money when you could get Shovel Knight on Steam for like $20 or less.
Yeah, this
you'll pay them $60-$70 for a cartridge version. And apparently the Kickstarter campaign was a big flop.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, it's like it's backwards thinking. It's like we have this really great idea and there's no content anymore because everyone has moved on from programming for cartridges.
Yeah, and I heard one criticism of the whole idea being like, also remember when you bought a cartridge for a game that was busted and there was no way to patch it so yeah. It worked better?
Yeah, that's the, like whenever it's like, I hate day one patches. They should just make it work when it comes out. I'm like, dude, if it was cartridges, that doesn't mean it's all going to work on day one. That just means it will not work if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on your end other than like,
Yo, dog.
What's it called? What's that thing called? Marvel just put it out.
Comic book.
Yeah, Marvel. Are you going to get into Playmation?
No. No. So, we saw that at Target. They had a big section for it over by the Toys to Life stuff. And my girlfriend's like, what the hell is this? Is this another thing we have to worry about? Didn't Disney Infinite just do Marvel guys? I went, no, this is nothing we need to worry about. She goes, well, what is it? I'm like, you take these figures that you can't pose or nothing, and you put them on these stands, and then you put on this Iron Man glove, and then they pop off.
Yeah, man. Shot it with you become Iron stuff. Man.
And also, then she completely lost interest and wanted nothing to do with it, and I was cool with that.
FYI, Falcon's wings go more horizontal. So they move. I pieced that together when I was looking at a display of them at a Walmart.
Alright.
And there's an Ultron vehicle. There's an Ultron vehicle, and it's so much bigger than your Skylander vehicles.
I have to admit, with the Skylander vehicles, I think it's lame that you can't put the Skylanders in the vehicles.
Yeah, I looked at Fiesta and his bone wagon.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought that this was going to be different, and I got way less interested when I looked at the actual figures.
Fiesta is still an amazing figure.
I saw a Halloween Fiesta at Best Buy the other day.
What? We gotta go to Best Buy.
It was Fiesta. It might have been an EB, or I can't remember what. But it was Fiesta, and he was all in orange and black.
Uh-huh.
And his eyes were glowing yellow.
Ooh.
He looks like a pumpkin. All right. Anything else to report on what we got this week?
No, I threw in for a couple Kickstarters.
Oh, did you get in on that Articulated Icons one?
No, what's that?
That was the one that the Foosh did with a ninja.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Foosh were basically, they were like, we want to make a 6-inch ninja figure, and Gentle Giant has already designed it. So they did a Kickstarter, and their last couple days went like crazy, and they suddenly were just inventing new stretch goals that would become free figures for the all-in guys.
Uh-huh.
And they are making, like, there's a modern ninja they're doing now that looks like a SOCOM guy. Looks like Sam Fisher as Snake Eyes.
Sounds like something I missed out on.
They're doing like a samurai figure that looks like Silver Samurai. A lot of stuff in there all of a sudden. It's being done by Gentle Giant. I can't imagine it's going to be something that's like only for backers. Like, clearly they're now going to be producing a modular toy that they can sell at like Big Bad and whatnot. But yeah, that recently had a massive successful ending.
Well, I threw in on the play with this too.
I've done that too, yes.
And it's not looking good.
No, it's not. I increased to add the whatever for the glow-in-the-dark BMOGs. I still like BMOGs, and I'd like for their thing to work out. But yeah, I don't know what they could do. The messaging has been trying to get the message out, but I can't tell you what else to do. It's impressive that they made it to like just over 30,000. Something worked at first, but I don't know what they're going to do in these last 8 days.
Yeah, in their current situation, once they have all these prototyped figures and they're so far along in Boneyard and Jet Strike and what was the name of the
Oh, Desolator.
Desolator. I don't think you could just scrap all that and try something completely different. But when I think of like boss fight and what you were describing with the ninja guys, I can't help but wonder if they did something wholly original and not third party-ish, if they wouldn't have better luck.
I think that what those other two Kickstarters had going for them, it wasn't just that they have people who work in the industry on them, but like those ninjas, it was this most solid concept in the world. It's a ninja. And they were able to name drop Gentle Giant has designed the figure for us. And Gentle Giant gets a lot of work. Boss Fight were able to say they didn't just work at Hasbro. They were people who literally worked on the tooling of toys for G.I. Joe and Transformers head sculpts. And they also had a very simple concept of here's a bunch of Gorgon ladies and Spartans. And this one, I think, like, it sucks, but I think that you got to figure out what to learn from this kind of thing. And yeah, if you have like, this is like Pretender Grimlock and Starscream in a lot of different colors. It's two very specific toys. There's no real army building to be done out of it. And I think that's what the other two had going for them hugely. Uh-huh. That Ninjas Kickstarter, several of the backer levels were just like three red ninjas or three black ninjas. And then there's like deluxe ninjas with more parts. And then like one of the backer levels was deluxe black ninja versus three red ninjas. And it became like very easy to sell you on three copies of the same toy. I think that's what the recent Skeleton Warriors Kickstarter faced as well. They were trying to do Grimskull. Kickstarter didn't go through. I backed it, but it's like, all I can really back is like Grimskull and all the Kickstarter variants. And that brings me up to like under $100 as a backer. I would love if I could just throw in like 10, like well-painted Bone Titans, but the painted Bone Titan was the one thing that wasn't in the pledge options or add-on options. And I was like, if you had that in there, I would be throwing like another $60 on this right now for what I'm getting back. And, it also made me call into question, like, the nature of Kickstarter. I was like, why am I not just putting the $60 in as a believer in the concept? But Kickstarter has evolved and changed now. It's no longer just about, here's money because I believe in you. It's also, here's money because I believe in you and I'm going to get something back from it. Yeah. And that mathematic equation, I think, really, especially with toys, it can really mess with you. Like, tooling costs are the big thing.
Yeah. I just don't know where Play With This 2 goes from here. Assuming they don't get a landslide of like $60,000 in pledges in the next 8 days from the time of this recording. Because, I mean, they've gone so far and spent so much on the prototypes that they have now. Like, I can't imagine not trying to figure out a way to keep going down the path they're on. But then I can't help but wonder if a different path might be more successful.
I can't imagine that those prototypes are just going to be like, all right, here's the thing that we blew, you know, five figures on and it's done. Like, maybe not in the short term or even like, you know, foreseeable long term, but I'm sure those prototypes will kick around for a little bit. But yeah, the thing, like, especially with that Ninja Kickstarter having that humongous surge at the end, I think that like part of the equation of this is you got to have a troop builder in your thing if your goal is so high that you're using this to really pay for the tooling. I think that like that's what was missing from this now that articulated icons thing just ended. Like, there are 10 different figures you can get, but they're all individual characters. And there's something in the toy collector that I think really gets set off by the troop builder. I mean, just look at Bakon. They've been pulling it off for a couple of years, more or less, with troop buildable options. I don't know what it would be, like, you know, maybe a Jet Strike in like generic purple or something, and then like it'll be like way less paint apps, but it's the troop builder. You get three of them. They don't have the human head, just the robot head, and it's like $90 for three or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I just found the Kickstarter for that ninja thing, and I'm sorry I missed on this. They look really cool. And I really like that Oni mask accessory.
Yeah. I'm real confident that, like, you know, those things aren't going to get produced till next year in the spring. I'm sure they're going to be available to non-backers once they're out.
Yeah. Then the other Kickstarter I threw in on was for a new turn-based BattleTech game, like overhead strategy.
I think I heard about this turn-based one. Turn-based
BattleTech. It's still going. And so I heard that, and I was like, man, I really enjoyed playing those old top-down turn-based BattleTech games at my friend's house on his Commodore 64. So I am interested in what I'm hearing, and I went and checked out the Kickstarter, and I'm watching the their video, and I'm trying to, like, get to it and talk at the same time. I'm terrible at doing that.
I've done that and been terrible at it.
And then apparently I don't know how to spell BattleTech. Anyway.
Starts with a B.
Oh, I just typed battle and not the tech part. So I'm watching their little video thing, and the guy talking turns out to be, like, the designer of the original BattleTech tabletop game. And then I was like, oh, well, hell's bells. If they got the original guy, then how am I going to say no? And also, they did that Shadowrun game that was very successful on Kickstarter.
Oh, cool.
That is a really good game in itself. I was into that Shadowrun game. I got it on. I didn't support the Kickstarter. Like, I wasn't really sold on doing Kickstarter at that time. But I got it when it was available on Steam, and I was like, man, this is great. I'm into it. The BattleTech game still has quite a ways to go, and man, they are well over.
Oh, Jesus. Their target. Yeah, okay. $1.6 million of a $250,000 goal.
Right.
And, in 6 days.
Yeah, and what's kind of cool is, so they originally designed to, like, do this skirmish mode. That would be, you have your Lance of 4 mech, and then you would go into skirmishes against the computer. And that was going to come out no matter what. Like, they were funding that much of the game themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, the stretch goals for this are all based on unlocking more features. So as the total pledges increase, it's adding to the game. So they hit the stage 2. So, and then each stage has tiers. So, stage 1, combined arms, expanded mission objectives, expanded environments. Then they hit stage 2, which adds a single player story campaign. And then they added cinematics and player created origins, voice acting, and a 3D Mech Warrior portrait system.
Yeah.
And now they're just a couple hundred away from stage 3, which will add an expanded mercenary campaign. And if they get to stage 4, then they'll add player versus player multiplayer. So they're well past being funded. And this company has already proven that they can deliver a finished game of quality in Shadowrun and its sequels. So if you threw in on this now, you're... I don't think you have anything to worry about. And it's only $25 to get a download of the game when it comes out, regardless of what form it's in. And so it's going to be playable on Windows, Mac, and Linux. And then you could download it through Steam, Good Old Games, or Humble. So it's only going to be $25. It was a real easy campaign to throw in on.
Yeah.
And for a property that I loved, BattleTech back in the day.
Well, and, like, for a full game to be made, and their goal is, like, $250,000, and it's this license and everything, like, I think another part of a successful Kickstarter, aside from, like, having a killer concept, if you don't, or if you just have a concept, if you're able to front enough that your goal is very attainable and your tiers are very affordable... Like, you know, take a look at this. Once you get over, like, once this thing is gonna happen, people will start piling in, like, once they know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That happened to Vitruvian Hacks completely. I think that might have happened to the ninja figures as well. Like, once it was known this is going to happen, it's like, all right, well, now I know I'm going to get in on this. And whatever, for whatever reason, people still tend to have this feeling of like, I don't want to get in on a Kickstarter until I know I'm going to, it's going to go through. And it's a real silly notion, because like, you're not losing anything if it doesn't go through. It causes this huge, just like, I don't know, attention grab, and like, you know, people on the fence going like, well, whatever, now I'm going to get in on this. And then it blitzkriegs the stretch goals. And it's amazing to watch when it works out.
Mm-hmm.
I still love this, like, you know, it's a problematic platform in a myriad of ways, in how it's still in its infancy. It's still growing up. But I love watching this thing, like, when it works. It's amazing.
Yeah. But just, like, on their page, just scrolling through and looking at the artwork and...
Yeah.
And the great house symbols, and, like, Steiner was always my crew when I played. I was always House Steiner or some affiliate mercenary group. Just started hitting, like, all the... Like, man, I haven't been in BattleTech for years, and I want to be back in BattleTech. And, like, on Twitter, they're tweeting pictures of, like, all the old books, which were the books that I had. Like, all the original books when they were still just straight jacking designs from Macross and other Japanese anime.
The only worry I'd have is because they've so flown, like amazingly through their, you know, their goal. The stretch goals actually make this make me not as worried. But the worry I have with games is when they get mega overfunded, they kind of have to rework everything to deal with all the extra money.
Uh-huh.
And that can screw around with stuff. But if they already have like planned stretch goals up through 2.5 million, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the way they laid it all out, it seems smart. Like how it's unlocking as it goes. And in my opinion, for the $25... where they're at now is probably a really good value.
Oh, if they hit expanded mercenary campaign, like sounds like an easy $30, $40 game.
Well, I would say up to voice acting in tier 2. That's not even the full tier 2 set. Like, I'm not sure what 3D MechWarrior portrait system is.
I'm guessing that means when you see people talking to you on your, like, cockpit monitor or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They're not like just drawn things, but yeah.
Yeah. So up to voice acting for $25, I'm going to consider everything else gravy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know if have I backed any other Kickstarters lately that went well. I should log in and take a look.
Well, I backed that one. What was it? Man, now I forget what it was called, but they were doing the World War II paratrooper figure.
Yeah, yeah.
That Four Horsemen designed. So that succeeded, and I got an email asking to confirm my address. And assuming everything goes according to plan, that figure should arrive by December.
Sweet.
I think their whole mission was try to get them two people before Christmas.
Yeah, the last Kickstarters I've been in, like the Ninja, I got in on a Ninja, Hotline Miami Biker. That's actually been it for Kickstarters for a while.
Yeah, I haven't funded a lot of things. Most of them have been like movie projects.
Yeah.
That I still haven't like gotten anything out of. Because like I paid enough to get a DVD, but they're all like in festival circuits and whatnot. Or in the case of one... Like, so I backed a Devo documentary, and whenever a update comes through, it sounds like the filmmakers are getting a little discouraged, because every time they present a cut of the movie to the band sends it back with a list of notes, and they're like, we're trying, we're trying, but the band is very particular. And then, like, a member dies, so then they have to recut everything, like, when Alan died to address that. And then Bob Caselli died, so they had to recut for Bob Caselli's death. And, yeah, that's dragging. But then I also funded a documentary on The Residents, And that's done and out on the festival circuit, but you got to wait for that to be over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think right now the only active one I've got going on is the Play With This 2 second run. And the only one I've not heard anything from is a movie I backed, but I know the guy making it. And I know he's still working on it. So I'm not worried.
I know where you live.
Yeah, I can find him. I can yeah. Best of luck to Play With This 2, and best of luck to anyone who wants to crowdfund anything that they've got going on. I think it's still so fun to see that stuff happen, even if it doesn't always follow through. There's so much to learn.
Yeah, I don't want to bury them before their campaign's over, but...
Yeah, we got a week left, and who knows what happens. But yeah, I mean, it's realistic to look at it and go like, all right, let's consider where they're going and what they can do. I don't know what they can do, really, other than come up with an army builder that really engages people.
I think that's gonna have to go outside of Pretenders, and
yeah,
if they're kind of hooked on this Pretender thing, I don't know what suggestion I can make that would help them, because I'm sure they know more about the whole situation than I ever will.
Yeah, same here.
So
army builder is the only thing at this point that I could think of, really. Like, earlier on, maybe like a stronger public face in terms of being a voice that you could speak to, all over the place. Because both them and the Skeleton Warriors Kickstarter had these really weird multi-day periods of silence that I think were really harmful to the Kickstarter. Huh. The Skeleton Warriors one, the folks running it, I think they got busy with a convention like right after it started. But it meant that Kickstarter was like silent for days in the opening week. And I was like, what's going on? Like, why aren't you saying anything? If you don't say anything, like, you know, you can't rely on backers to do your talking for you. That's something that's become very clear to me about these things. And this Kids Boot thing looks amazing.
Yeah. It's a build your own digital camera.
Yeah.
I wish my nephew was a little more chill. He's a very excitable 7-year-old, because I would love to like buy him like these science-y kit kind of things, like build your own little robot or build your own camera. I just don't think he can handle it right now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's 7, he should be able to handle it right now, but I don't think he can handle it right now.
Well, I think we've hit the end of our what we got. And we're turning into one of those podcasts that angry people like to use mathematics on and tell us what percentage of the podcast was not about Transformers.
Your mom wasn't about Transformers.
One of these days, I'd love to see your equations, though, like the pie graphs and charts that led to the very specific percentage about how much we haven't talked about Transformers. And I'm going to screw it up by throwing in another decimal here. Megatron rules. So, Seth.
Hmm?
I'll talk to you later on, probably when I'm back in the East Side.
Okay, I'll be here in my new house.
Yeah, living at large.
Yeah.
People yelling outside.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I gotta, like, catch one of my neighbors. Like, I don't want to just, like, knock on a door.
Pound on the door?
Yeah, but I want to, like, catch one of them outside and be like, hey, what should we expect in regards to Halloween and trick-or-treaters?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I don't want to buy a whole bunch of candy and then nobody shows up and then we got to eat the whole bunch of candy and get sick.
Yeah, feel like scumbags afterwards.
But then I don't want to have not enough candy if this is a good trick-or-treat neighborhood. And like, I'm looking at how some of the houses around here are decorated, and they seem to be pretty well decorated for Halloween. You wouldn't think people would do that if there wasn't a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
And also you got to find one of your neighbors and then just exclaim, I live next to you! Like, and make that the conversation.
We've met all of our immediate neighbors already. Ah. So all down the street, the houses are like in little groups of 4. So there's 2 in the front, like on the street, and then 2 in the back. And there's a big shared driveway. If that makes any sense to you.
I think so.
So we're one of the back houses in our little set of 4.
Okay.
So we're, you know, a whole house back from the street. So we've met everybody from our little foursome. Or at least somebody from those families.
Representatives of the houses.
Yeah. Like, we met the husband of this one, we met the sister of that one, and we met the blah, blah, blah. So it's just a matter of, like, seeing one of them again and being like, hey, let me ask you a thing.
Yeah. Well, if any listeners out there know, just let us know.
Pagan rituals around here.
I'm going to draw some stars with my magic chalk. Well, Seth, I think that's an episode, so thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to all of you later. Stay tuned. Next week, we got even more talking about what we spent the first half of this podcast talking about. But, yeah, we're all hyped, aren't we? We are.
Super hyped.
Hype!
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators and they're here to stay.